السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who listen over the receivers, it is traditional in this masjid, as I have mentioned, that whenever there is a nikah, then whatever the topic was last week which we were supposed to continue with, but we switch over to something on nikah itself, because everything is part of deen. Namaz is part of deen, zakat is part of deen, hajj and fasting part of deen, nikah is a part of deen, eating, drinking, business, everything. Shariat is a whole package. So when it is the occasion of nikah, then some hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or some discussion of nikah is appropriate. Of course, we do not really address the groom himself. It is for the congregation at large. Some of them may be there who are not yet married. Some are married. So whoever the cap fits has to wear it. Nevertheless, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if he declared that nikah is his sunnat, his way of life. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was a Nabi for the rich, for the poor, Nabi for the black, for the white, Nabi for the people of the east and the west, for the north and the south. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam was Nabi for the people until the day of Qiyamah. So when he says that it is my way of life, then definitely it must be a very beautiful teaching of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. We can see that all the Rasuls and Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam that came to this world, marriage did not affect their spirituality. Whilst the world was still grappling, they did not know whether they were coming or going with regards to woman. The French were saying that the woman is only half of a human being. The Japanese were saying that the woman is absolutely dirty and filthy. The Chinese were saying that the woman has got the devil in her, the spirit of the devil in her. The Hindus were saying that if the husband has to die, then this woman does not even deserve living on the surface of the earth. She must also be burnt to death. The people of Arabia, when it came to distribution of estate, then how we distribute wealth, like that they distributed the women also. The mother also was distributed. The wife had absolutely no rights. She was treated as a doormat. No rights at all in inheritance, in nothing. We know that they used to regard the birth of a daughter as something very humiliating, very, very disgraceful, shameless, full of shame and disgrace they should feel. Daughter was born in the house, so they must bury her alive. So those who are talking about women's rights, they must go back to Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's time and see what was the condition of those women at that time. Who gave them rights? This beautiful institution of nikah, who educated the woman? Now, if we have to discuss just one aspect, we can carry on for hours. Now we have very limited time. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave them rights. And this beautiful institution of nikah, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, is my way of life. That means if you have got love for me, then you should marry. Of course, there are different conditions. The jurists will discuss that. That if a person, for example, his passions have reached a stage where he will commit zina, if he does not marry, then it becomes farz for him to marry. If he's got the means, he's got the ability. And if the person is a normal, balanced person, but he has the means, he has the ability to marry, then we'll say it is sunnat for him to marry. But besides going into all the details, but if there is a person who is very, very short-tempered, his fuse blows all the time, little things and he snaps, trivial things and he is punishing the wife and beating the wife, and or he has that fear that that's what he'll be doing, then for such people it is said that it is haram to marry. That means such people shouldn't marry. First they should go and get them themselves treated. Just as how we go to the hospitals to treat our physical ailments and illnesses and diseases, in the same way this person needs a good treatment of his akhlaq first. He must go to those people who can first diagnose his sickness properly and thereafter give him a good talk and treat his disease. When he finds himself a little bit cured of the disease, then after that you say, now undertake marriage. Even though that person may be an alim, he can be a hafiz of the Quran Sharif, he can be a haji sahab, he can be very much occupied in the work of deen, he can be a very beautiful reader of the Quran Sharif, he's a qari sahab, but that does not mean that that person is exempt from that. Because sometimes they too have very, very short tempers, and then those wives undergo a lot of suffering at their hands. So even they first require some kind of treatment. Just the reading of the kitabs is not sufficient. It does not mean that if a person has completed the Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Abu Dawud Sharif, so now he has become an excellent human being. It does not mean that. Knowledge of all the kitabs is something different, and practice upon the knowledge is different, and that is what we were discussing last week from the fitnas of the time. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that the fitnas close to Qiyamah, inna min ashrati sa'a an yurfa'a al-ilm wa yaksura al-jahal. That knowledge will be raised up, and jahalat, ignorance will increase. So we will say there's an explosion of knowledge these days. We never had as many books as we have today. In the past, we did not have the computers which record everything. There's so much of increase of knowledge, newspapers, magazines, books, everything. But just the reading of that is not sufficient. Just the reading is not sufficient. Across the board, look at those marriages which have broken down, where there are fights and arguments and quarrels. 90% of the time those people know very well that what they were doing was wrong. Who does not know that taking drugs and drinking and womanizing and gambling and all those other things which are causes of marital breakdowns, that they are wrong things? Who does not know? So to have the ability to practice is something else. That is what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam means, that the ilm has to be ilm and nafi. That means the person must be able to practice. I mentioned in one place, one Darul Uloom, when I was giving a talk there on the graduation day, I said that these days we have the Quran Sharif on computer. We have the tafasir of the Quran Sharif, the commentaries, so many different commentaries of the Quran Sharif on computer. We have so many different books of jurisprudence on computer. Hidayah is on computer. Then if you look at the books of Ahadith, Mishkat Sharif, Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, all these are on computer. Then if you look at all the other things which are taught in the institutions, you find it on the computer. But up till today, we haven't heard at a graduation ceremony that they kept the computer. They said, you have got more knowledge than all our students put together, so therefore we are putting a cap on your head too. As from now on, you will guide and lead the ummah. We haven't heard of that. So it shows that that knowledge is not sufficient. It has to be practiced on that knowledge. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave the women their rights. And he said that this nikah is my way of life. So now if Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that it is his way of life, then we will have to look into his life, that how did he behave with his wives. That Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who was so occupied, that there was nobody more busier than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Can there be anybody more busy than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? And look at what he was being faced with. In Makkatul Mukarramah, we know that there was nothing but torture and persecution, boycott, 3 solid years, ostracism in Shaab ibn Abi Talib. Even the greatest after Allah, the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he with his companions, read the books of history and see what they had to endure. The time came when they had to even chew the leather for survival, leaves of trees for survival. 3 solid years. And look at all the other trials and difficulties that he was going through. When he comes to Madina Tayyibah, then to the Kuffar and Mushrikeen of Makkah Mukarramah, and the Munafiqeen, another new group now in Madina Tayyibah, they don't allow him any kind of time and rest. He's so occupied. Then there's a battle of Badr, battle of Uhud, battle of Khandaq. Now has a person got any time to even smile at such a time? Person is so occupied, where can he even have time to smile? But that Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, when he's walking into the house, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, he walks in with a beautiful smile on his face. He leaves behind all that outside. Now he's in the house, he's with his wife, with his children. Look at the love that he has for his daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, that when he's going out, he meets all his wives first. The last person he meets is his daughter, Hazrat Fatima. And when he comes back, the first one that he meets is his daughter, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha. Now who gave the women this right? Who said that under the mother's feet is Jannat? Who gave the wife such kind of rights? So as a husband, there is a great responsibility that the person is taking. It is not a joke, as many people are now considering it to be. We have gone on to 2 extremes. On the one side, there's the extreme that lots of young people who are in the 20s, 25, 30, 40, but they don't want to marry. Why? They say, we don't want to take the responsibilities of marriage. And many say that we don't have the money to marry, because we always got in our head that there has to be a huge hall, there has to be feeding of 1,000 people, there has to be all kinds of jewelry and makeup and everything that is required. So the people, the moment they hear of marriage, they get a shock of their lives, that how can we undertake nikah? So costly, so expensive. And yet look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he said that it is my way of life. So how simple and easy he made it. In a congregation of this sort, in the presence of the witnesses, the person makes nikah, and then a simple walima, and just gives some meher. How difficult is that? After that, the person lives within his budget. He does not have to go and borrow from the banks. And those women who are getting married, the girls who are getting married, they are also educated that you must not be straight away demanding from the very first day a lavish home and expensive furniture and high quality jewelry. So then they will be beautiful married. Look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, daughter's nikah. Allah ta'ala could have sent the angels with what from Jannat for his daughter's nikah. Look at the simplicity in which it was made. Therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Inna azaman nikah barakatan aisarahu mauna. The best nikah, from the barakat point of view, is that nikah in which the least expenditure is incurred. Then spend on the groom, spend on the bride, or give it to them, let them build up their home. But that is a different issue. Here we are talking about the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said that, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlihi, wa ana khayrukum li ahli. The best amongst you is those who are the best to their wives and children. And he says, I am the best to my wives. Now, keep in mind that that's the Rasul of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, who is under so much of pressure from all sides. And yet he says, I am the best. Not one wife of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would have liked to leave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, how beautifully she consoled Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam when he returned from the cave of Hira. And he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, cover me up, because he was pressed and squeezed there by Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. And this great responsibility now of the propagation of the deen of Allah ta'ala was put on his shoulders. So at that time, how beautifully she consoled him. And she was a wife who had spent almost 15 years at that time with him. But what does she say? Kalla wallahi la yukhzik Allahu abada. Never, Allah will never cause any kind of disgrace to come upon you. Why? Innaka latasilur rahim wa tahmilul kal wa taksibul ma'dum wa tu'inu ala nawaibil haqq kama qalat Khadija. We've discussed it. Now she's, the gist of which is that you are very, very kind to the family members, to the relatives, to those who are kith and kin. Your milk of kindness overflows. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being consoled by his wife. You carry the burden of others. Again, there's a whole explanation to that. Those who cannot earn, it seems as if you are earning so that they may survive. You are very, very hospitable to your guests. You assist those people who have been unjustly oppressed. Now, so many other explanations. But now, who is giving this consolation? His wife. How many of us can say that if you want to know about me, what a good person I am, ask my wife? Can we say that? How many of us can say that? Ask my wife what kind of a person I am, how good I am, how much of taqwa I got, how much of piety I got. It is easy to display our piety and taqwa in the outside world. We can be extremely good with our friends. We can spend everything on our friends. We can smile and we can be cheerful and we can laugh and we can joke the whole night. Many, many nights on end the person can joke with his wife, with his friends. But when he comes into the house, then he's like a terrorist. Abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, all kinds of abuse. Now, I'm not saying that the wives are innocent. Many a times their tongues also wag faster than the, or they gallop faster than the July handicap horses. So I'm not talking about that. Sometimes their tongues also faster than the July handicap horses. They've got no control over their tongues. Their tongues slice at the heart of the husbands. And sometimes there's false accusations, lies, rumors, and they get carried away with that. But here I'm addressing a congregation of men. So they also have got rights, and the husbands have also got rights. But here what I am saying, that we are men, rijal. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, rijalullah tulhihim tijaratum wala bay'un an dhikrillah. So if Allah ta'ala calls us rijal, so we must behave like men. We must learn to tolerate, we must learn to overlook, we must learn to accommodate. Somebody says that if only the woman talks as cheerfully and smilingly once a day with her husband as she talks to the neighbor's husband. And if only the husband talks with a smile and with cheer once a day as he talks with the neighbor's wife, then that home will be a happy one. The environment in which we are living is so vicious. And then the television and the movies and cell phones and all the different sections of the newspaper which deal with nothing but filth. Now those things are attracting the husbands away, pulling them in different directions. And as a result, there's nothing but quarrels and arguments. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he gave us a beautiful example. He set a pattern for us that no matter who the person is, no matter how pious and righteous he may be, but he is in need of a wife. Allah Ta'ala, if he has declared in the Quran Sharif, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Why did Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala create mates? There's no time to go into tafsir or anything, but why did he create mates? So that we may dwell in them in tranquilities. In other words, the person, when he goes into his home, he may find peace and happiness and contentment and satisfaction, tranquility in the heart. And it is Allah Ta'ala who put that love and mercy between the hearts of the husband and wife. Total strangers, absolutely unknown. And nikah bonds them in such a way that it baffles our imagination. In fact, those are the marriages that are still surviving. Our great grandparents and grandparents, who sometimes the very first meeting that they had, proper meeting, was after the nikah. Otherwise they just had one glance. And that is what is recommended. Not recommended, that is what is Sharia. We say, no, the person must live with the woman. He must get to know her. Whilst getting to know her, we know what it ends up with. All this Western world, what are they doing? Some are living with those women for 15 years, 20 years. They already have half a dozen children. And then with great pride, they announce the engagement. They are happy. There will be an engagement. And then the marriage takes place. Then 1 month, 2 months, 6 months down the line, it's in the divorce court. So if they got to know the woman so well, then why it's ending in divorce? Look at Shariat. Look at the beauty of Shariat. Shariat wants you to enjoy marriage life. It wants the couple to enjoy their getting together, where there is totally no talk, no discussion, no telephone rings, nothing. The person has found out through different sources, through family members, through friends, whatever is the normal source of finding out about some person. As I mentioned, the one of the bayans, that if a customer comes to you and he wants on credit, or he asks for a loan, the person asks for a loan, 100,000, 20,000 loan. So now does it mean you have to live with him first for 20 years, 5 years, then you get to know him? What would we do? We'll make the normal investigation. What is his credit worthiness? Is he honest, reliable or not? Those who have been trading with him, we'll find out from them. In the same way, if the person had a liking for some woman after he saw her, and he feels like putting a proposal, so they will find out from the family, friends or others. He doesn't have to live with her. But now when they are going to meet for the first time, psychologically also there is an enjoyment that the person is now meeting for the first time. The person who has met that girl half a dozen times or 100 times already, or he has been courting and he has been moving around as if they are already husband and wife, what happiness is left after that, after the nikah? Shariat is beautiful. Look at it from any direction, any angle. Is the Shariat of our beloved Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashal, ajmal, akmal. Most simple, most easy, and most beautiful and perfect. That is Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam Shariat. So on one extreme, yes, that's the point I was making. One extreme, we have those who don't want to marry for various reasons, although they have the ability. And on the other side, there are little children who are just getting married in the schools, in the universities, in the colleges. Just see how many of them are married. Standard 5 and 6 boys and girls are married. Ask me, I will tell you. Marriage register. There was a marriage register which came into our possession. The whole thing was filled with nothing but school children's nikahs. And in some of them, who were the witnesses? Mrs. Naidu, Mr. Pillai, Mrs. Govender. This is the truth I'm telling you in the masjid. They were the witnesses. And they are married. They say the nikah was performed. So we have another extreme. There's no moderation. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam gave us a beautiful way of life. I was supposed to discuss one hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, but I always believe whatever Allah Ta'ala puts in the mind, that is the best. So we should not go on to any extreme. Those whom Allah Ta'ala has given the ability, they have the financial, physical ability, then don't look at big halls. In Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's time, was there a hall they were used to look for to make nikah? That until we don't find a hall. Many of them you ask, you are already proposed, why is the delay? December, January, February, right down in April you're getting married. So because no halls are available. So what are we then encouraging if we are not encouraging zina? So on the one hand, there is all this temptation towards zina from the newspapers, magazine, radio, TV, and then we as parents are encouraging more zina. I conclude that one youngster told me, he says, I'm proposed and my fingers itch to make a telephone call. What must I do? He says, every time my fingers are itching to make the telephone, and you are saying mustn't talk. So I said, how simple and easy, come there and use those same fingers to sign the nikah register, finish. Sign the nikah register, finish. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless this marriage with barakat, with happiness, unite their hearts in love, in affection, in compassion. May they be loving, sharing, caring couple. And all those who are married, Allah ta'ala give them peace, happiness, contentment and satisfaction. Allah ta'ala give them tranquility in their hearts. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the problem and the suffering that the Ummah is going through around the globe. And not only the Ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, which is of Ijabat, but even the Ummah of Dawat. That means even those who are disbelievers, we must make dua, Allah Ta'ala give them hidayat. And Allah Ta'ala must remove all this suffering of AIDS and famine and droughts and everything that mankind is suffering around the globe. We must have feeling for mankind. Make Allah Ta'ala must make everyone worthy of entry into Jannat. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله.